I'd like to start by answering the question that's on everyone's mind. Yes, this is real life. This is really happening. On January 20th, I, Donald J. Trump, would become the 45th president of the United States. And then 2 months later, Mike Pence will become the 46th.
Is Alec Baldwin having the time of his life as Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live? The stage screen actor and writer may be worried enough about being pegged as Trump forever that he told me last week it took some secret Jedi mind magic by Saturday Night Live's Lorne Michaels to get Baldwin to do some Trump sketches during the campaign. But when Trump won the election, the Jedi magic felt more like the dark force for this longtime political activist. When we spoke to him last week, he was happy to share his formula for impersonating Trump. And maybe it's because he's anxious for someone to take over what has become his duty to his country.
So the key to the Trump impersonation is that you talk like this, and you raise one eyebrow, drop the other, and then you say, let me just tell you about Jeff Sessions. He is a fantastic guy, amazing. So we always default to fantastic, amazing, terrific. There's always that pause, and he never comes up with anything stronger or clearer. You ask him about the environment. The EPA is out of control, and what we need to do is bring in some really fantastic people who can fix this. You know, he's not a great thinker, and he demonstrates that over and over again. It's kind of harrowing, actually.
It's chilling to listen to you do that, quite frankly, I have to say. Do people in entertainment and Hollywood, for lack of a better term, exist in a bubble, politically speaking? And if you looked at the Golden Globes the other night, you could blink and think to yourself, man, this is a kind of clubby atmosphere. They're definitely not talking to the people in rural America at the strip malls.
The politics of the average person who works in the entertainment industry, whether they be actors on screen or they're musicians who perform, you know, and so forth, writers, directors, I mean, there's a whole myriad of those people. I think that those people, they tend to lean that way because they have a conscience. They make pretty good money, some of them, but not all of them, and they have a conscience which tells them, I want to do well, but I want to do good. And you have a Republican Party who's been telling people for many, many years, don't worry so much about doing good. Let's get you to do well first. Worry about you. Worry about your wallet. Vote your wallet. Vote your concerns. And I find that the artist community that I work within, I mean, I'm not friends with all these people. I get these comments all the time online and people on Twitter saying, you know, why don't you shut up about your criticisms of the oil industry? What do you fuel your private plane with? I can count on both hands how many times I've flown on a private plane. I've flown commercial nearly 99.99999% of my life. These assumptions of how I live, what my lifestyle live, they're erroneous and they're offensive. The community of artists that I count myself among are A, very caring people, and for the most part, very informed people. And they wind up ending up on the side of something which is more, I'd say, about doing good as much as doing well.
Do you like being politically active? Is it consistent with your artistic vision, or does it get in the way?
I like it to some degree, but I mean, once Obama won, I'm writing my memoir now, which is coming on out in April, and I did confess to the idea that once Obama won, I was guilty. And this is also, I think, a sign of my age as well, where I sat there and I go, well, our guy's in, we're good. And I kind of backed off and wasn't really that involved and that concerned. I thought Obama's got everything covered.
Mistake.
And it was a mistake. I mean, not that I have a lot of complaints about Obama. I have some. But I will say that my personal view of the presidency and what the president can and can't do and how that man or woman in the future would operate is a very particular picture of what the president really can do and can't do and what kind of systems he walks into that are already in place and aren't going to change in terms of the military and foreign policy and so forth. And having said that, I think that Obama, when he leaves, I'm sorry to see him leave because he operated fairly well with inside those systems. He made some mistakes, I think. I think he should have closed Guantanamo as a symbol to the rest of the world about where we're at. But at the same time, I think Obama was just as elegant and as thoughtful and as gracious a person. And I think that counts for something. Because now we have somebody who's like the villain in a W.C. Fields movie as the president of the United States. So,
what would you like to change? What job would you want to have?
Politically.
What do you want to try once?
Or what job do I want in life
any of those
or
things.
In politics?
Politics, anything.
Or in politics. Well, I mean, obviously, I think people, You want to be the president of the United States because you want to lead people toward where you think that they're better served going. I would tell people, don't be afraid. Let's have the, I don't want to say Manhattan Project because that bespeaks some kind of military operation. I want to say let's have the Apollo Project of alternative energy. Just as we said that, just as Kennedy said, we will put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. I want to say by the end of the decade, we will have a 50% goal. We will meet 50% of our energy needs. I mean, I have friends of mine who say you can put derricks on the Great Lakes with wind turbines there, and absent the issue of animal strike and things like that, which is a very serious thing, you can put derricks out on the Great Lakes and power one-third of the country with those derricks.
I wish you could see your eyes light up when you talk about this, because I get this impression that for, you know, since you're like 4 years old, you've been looking at the TV, seeing the political figures in America and going, I could do that. Is that right?
I have been.
Is that true?
But, well, that's changed in recent years. But I wouldn't ever run because I know I wouldn't win. Because we live in these very, very strident times right now. So I mean, I would be the right wing's poster boy. They'd be salivating if I ran.
A sign off from the Trump character who you channel. What does he think about public radio? What's his sense of?
What's not fake news? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have Tina here to write for me, so I'm in a bind. I need a writer all the time. But I wonder if he would. I wonder what.
What's he going to do about fake news? He's going to bring somebody in. What's he going to do about it?
He's going to start Trump TV with Jared. They're going to start their own network and fill it with journalists that are really just fantastic journalists, great journalists, people who have wonderful credentials, and get them on TV and get them on the radio. Then we can really talk seriously about our political futures.
It's been fantastic talking to you.
And John, you would not be one of those people. You're socialist, you're troublemaker. Fake news. Fake news. Hockenberry. Hockenberry's German for fake news.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Actor Alec Baldwin, who said he'll stop doing the impersonation of Donald Trump, which Trump spokesman Sean Spicer has called mean-spirited, when the president-elect releases his tax returns.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.